Today, our story is called Deadly Marriages and is written by Graham Lonsdale.
Good day. Are you Mr. Sires?
Yes, that's right.
It is now precisely 10 o'clock, and I have an appointment with you.
Ah, you must be Mr. Corb. Please come in.
Thank you.
I'm afraid the lady who assists me in the office is indisposed this morning. A cold, I believe.
I see. Will my carriage be all right in the courtyard?
Oh, yes, certainly. It may wait there. Please put your hat and coat on the stand. My office is through here.
Very well.
Miss Peake, my assistant, informed me that this appointment was made through your solicitor. But that is all I know. After you.
These are very comfortable premises you have here.
Thank you.
I'm told that you are very good at what you do. I hope that is correct. And I also hope that your reputation for confidentiality is also to be trusted.
Absolutely, Mr. Corb. Please be seated.
Thank you. I wish to discuss a matter of extreme delicacy. I may also add that I find it almost as distasteful. It is only at my family's insistence that I am here.
I have already said that you can trust my discretion.
You were recommended to me by General Woodmarch. You solved a rather worrying problem for him. He said I should mention his name to you.
Is it a similar problem?
Well, not really, but one of equal, shall we say, delicacy. A matter to be kept very, very strictly private. And I cannot overemphasize that point. Now then, it concerns my brother, Peter. A younger brother.
I take it he is in some unfortunate situation.
My family believes he has made a very serious error of judgment that could cost him his life.
Hello, Miss Peake. Are you better today?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Please come through to my office. I have an important matter which has to receive immediate attention. Mr. John Corb was here yesterday.
He brought an important assignment for you.
Indeed, he did.
I suppose Mr. Corb discreetly left an envelope containing a sizable deposit.
Shall we call it more than generous?
What's the problem?
Mr. Corb has a younger brother, Peter, whom I gather is something of a gambler. Also, not a very attractive young man to look upon, although Mr. Corb assures me he is of an amiable enough disposition.
What troubles he got himself into?
The young man became involved in a card game with a certain Sir Harold Ostgon. I've done a little research into him in your absence.
Oh.
He has a large estate and a foul reputation, earned through various wanton interests.
Oh, dear. Young Mr. Corb lost money to him, is that it?
On the contrary. The young man won a great deal of money from Sir Harold at the table. Later, a rather curious arrangement was made to cover the debt.
I'm intrigued, Mr. Sires. What was the arrangement?
Harold Ostgon has three very beautiful daughters. The youngest is unmarried. According to my information, the elder daughters were married off to cover their father's previous debts. The young women appear to be entirely under his domination. Their mother died some years ago. Oh,
the old villain sounds positively perverse.
The husbands of two of his daughters have tended to die early, very early. And their estates have been plundered by the old man. Mr. John Corb is unsure whether or not the two elder sisters have had anything to do with that part of it. But some suspicion rests on their father.
The old man may be an unattractive character one way or the other, but murder?
John Corb is concerned for his younger brother's safety. Peter approached the old man's offer to settle the debts with some doubts until he actually met Margaret Ostgon. He is now besotted with her. As I've said, she's very beautiful.
But what are you going to do?
I am instructed by John Corb to follow a certain plan.
That is?
I am to visit the Ostgon estate on a heavily disguised pretext and do all in my power to ensure that Peter does not marry Margaret.
How?
By seeking evidence that the elder sister's husbands did not die natural deaths. I must try to win the confidence of at least one of them. And, by the way, you will accompany me.
Oh, in what capacity shall I appear?
As my mother.
What? what?
Mr. John Corb will provide finances so that we impress Sir Arthur Ostgun and everyone else at the estate as people of title, wealth, and so on. We shall say we have recently returned to this country after a long absence overseas. But that will help to confuse the issue if Arthur Ostgun tries to check on our credentials, as he surely will, in my opinion.
You were perfectly correct when you said this was going to be very dangerous.
I am employed to carry out an investigation as Mr. John Corb wishes, and you, Miss Peake, are employed to do as I ask. Anyway, there is no reason why you should not thoroughly enjoy our stay at Ostgun Estate.
Is everything in order?
Yes.
Good. You will appear to be Sir William Fenlake. You will say that you were a friend of the late Charles Class, who was married to Mary Ostgun, the eldest daughter. Will your Miss Peake be able to carry out her role in all this satisfactorily?
I have complete confidence in Miss Peake.
Very well, then. Find the evidence against Harold Ostgun.
He may be innocent, you know. There was never any previous proof of foul play.
He is a villain. I've no doubt about it. He wishes to marry Margaret to my younger brother, kill the young man in some seemingly innocent way, and plunder his fortune as he did the others.
The carriage is waiting. Oh, good day, Mr. Corb.
Miss Peake. Yes. Well, good luck to both of you.
Come along, William. Don't dawdle.
Yes, Mother.
Very good. We may yet see the old rogue hanging from the end of a rope, which is what he deserves.
There you are. I've been looking all over for you.
This is certainly a beautiful estate. I couldn't resist coming out here to the terrace to look at it again before sunset.
John Corb believes Ostgun will not be able to keep it unless he can find a rich victim. Don't forget that.
Speak of the devil, here he comes now.
Oh.
Well, are you enjoying the view?
Yes, indeed. We were admiring it very much.
I'm glad you accepted my hospitality. It's most regrettable you were not aware of Charles's passing. I dare say it's a shock to you.
Oh, yes, yes, a deep shock.
I believe you have three daughters, but we've not seen any of them yet.
Oh, well, Mary and Margaret are here, but Kathy is away in France.
You know, I do admire your roses, those over there.
Yes.
Perhaps we could take a closer look at them. I'm sure William will be able to find something else to do while we stroll, not so?
What? Yes. Yes, of course, Mother. You'll go ahead.
Good, well, please, take my arm.
Thank you. See you later, William, dear.
Yes, Mother. See you later. I didn't hear you behind me.
Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. I'm Margaret. I was told you were a friend of Charles.
Yes, I'm William Fenlake.
Father says you'll be staying with us for a while.
He kindly made the invitation.
My fiancé will be here this evening for the weekend. Mr. Peter Corb, do you know him?
No, I'm sorry, but I haven't made the gentleman's acquaintance.
My father says you and your mother have been overseas for some time.
Yes.
Where have you been?
Oh, mostly business travelling. Oh. I'm sure it would bore you.
No, on the contrary, we'd be very interested to hear all about it.
Mary, I thought you were...
Well, now I'm here. I'm curious to meet this old friend of Charles.
How do you do?
My father's already told me who you are, but Charles never mentioned you.
Well, he probably had far more important things to do than reminisce about me. I was terribly sorry to hear about his death, and I would like to extend my sympathy.
Shall we sit down here?
Yes, if you like.
Charles died about a year ago.
Yes, I believe so. Your father...
And you never heard a word of it?
No, it came as a shock to me when I heard.
Had Charles made an open invitation for you to call here?
Something like that. My mother...
Oh, well, we can discuss things further later, perhaps after dinner this evening. Now, I must be going. Margaret will keep you company. But remember, she is engaged to be married. Until later, William.
Yes, until later.
Mary can be very abrupt.
So I see.
Do you owe my father money, or the other way around?
Oh, good heavens, no. Why do you ask?
I was just wondering. No particular reason, just wondering.
I saw you talking to the daughters. Any progress?
Well, Margaret is a charming little thing. The other one, Mary, I really don't know. She's also very beautiful, as you no doubt could see for yourself, but hard. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it could have something to do with the circumstances of her marriage to Charles.
And by all accounts, he was a very pleasant fellow. How did you get along with the old man?
He may have the reputation of a villain, but he's certainly very charming. If I'm not very careful, he shall be asking to marry me.
Oh, dear Miss Peake, you must be careful.
Being careful is why I'm still Miss Peake.
I beg your pardon?
Don't worry. You know you can rely on me. Oh, by the way, I think Harold Oscon could be a frightened man.
Frightened?
Yes. I'm very sensitive to that sort of thing.
Well, why should he be frightened? Do you think he already suspects us?
No, it's not that. It's something else.
What could it be?
We shall need to find out. You can safely leave the old man to me. You concentrate on Mary.
Miss Peake, may I remind you that I am in charge here?
Well, I apologize if I was speaking out of turn.
It's quite all right. I was informed by Margaret that Peter Corb will be here for the weekend, so we shall be able to observe all the principal characters together.
There's something going on here which does not meet the eye. To begin with, I'm concerned about the absence of the middle daughter, Kathy.
She's gone to France, according to the old man.
Could you get word to John Corb and ask him to check on that?
Yes, I can get word to him through the coachman. Perhaps it would be a good idea to do so.
Does Margaret seem at all nervous?
No, not at all.
I have a feeling if we make one wrong move, we shall be in more than just a dangerous situation. I do hope Harold Oscon is not nervous due to some dreadful fate he has in mind for us.
That was a splendid meal.
I couldn't agree more, William. And it seems to me that the wine has made the old man rather interested in Miss Peake.
Hmm. I understand that there are three daughters, two apart from your fiancée.
Yes. Kathy is in France.
When did she leave?
Not long ago, a few weeks. I'm told she intends to be away for some considerable time. I barely know her. Only met her a couple of times.
I hear her husband died, same as Charles, Mary's husband.
Yes. And I hear you were a good friend of Charles. Poor chap. I believe he sickened very rapidly, and that was that. Mind you, it was all before my time here.
Margaret is a charming girl. You're very lucky.
I think so. We're going to be married as soon as possible.
What are you two doing hiding out here?
Just getting a breath of fresh air. The summer's rather severe this year.
I think Margaret's feeling rather abandoned.
Well, we can't have that. I'll go cheer her up. Excuse me.
Certainly.
He's a nice chap, Peter.
Well, I should hope you'd rather keep company with me.
Yes, of course.
I heard you asking about Kathy.
Indeed. Were you listening?
Not intentionally.
I trust that Charles left you well provided for.
Oh, immensely so. Are you well provided for?
Yes.
I think you're a very interesting man, William. I do hope that we shall become well acquainted in the near future. Now, I do have some pressing matters to attend to, if you'll excuse me.
Certainly. I look forward to us talking again.
How very curious.
Miss Peake, is that you lurking in the shadows?
I've managed to escape Harold. He succumbed entirely to the delights of the excellent wine, and, I may add, confirmed my suspicions that he's a very frightened man.
Why? What did he say?
My opinion's based really on reading between the lines. I don't think he's at all happy about the proposed marriage between his daughter and Peter Corb.
Not happy, but he suggested it in the first place.
Oh, have you sent word to John Corb to check on Kathy?
Yes, we should receive a reply tomorrow. I received your message from the coachman to meet you here behind the stables.
I came here in person because what I have to say could be very important.
In connection with Kathy Oscar?
Yes. Investigation soon revealed that she was never aboard the ship which was supposed to have taken her to France. She has, Mr. Sayers, disappeared.
But why?
I'm paying you a great deal of money to find out. That and other matters. If you'd excuse my reference to such a thing as your fee.
Yes, of course. We're all most upset by this whole situation.
What are you upset about?
To my great consternation and puzzlement, sir, Mary Ostgen appears to be directing very definite attention toward me in an affectionate way.
Well, use the opportunity to further your investigation.
I am a gentleman. I could not possibly unfairly compromise the lady. It is the lady's father, we suspect.
Very well. I understand perfectly. However, you must do everything you can within the bounds of decency. And remember, we are inquiring into the possibility of fraud and murder.
I shall endeavor to find out what has happened to Kathy.
Good day.
Good day, Mr. Corb. Yes. Kathy Oscombe may never have left the country. She wasn't on the ship to France, and there is no trace of her.
I see.
Where's the old man this morning? He wasn't at breakfast.
In his room. sleeping off the effects of last night's wine.
Unless we are being well deceived. He doesn't impress me as a cold, calculating killer. He's a gambler. He drinks too much. He likes to live splendidly. And it would seem he used gambling debts as a means of marrying two of his daughters to rich men.
Which are all references to...
Miss Peake, the man may be a villain, but is he a murderer?
What I'd like to know is, where is Kathy?
You don't... Well, you don't think that...
Think what?
If he was, shall we say, capable of murdering the men to gain their fortunes, perhaps he is also capable of murdering his daughter.
Well, the only way to know for sure is to find the missing woman, or find somebody who can say definitely where she is.
Good morning, you two. Lovely day, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, lovely.
Margaret is waiting for me on the terrace, so I'll see you later. Mary was looking for you earlier, in case you're interested.
I'm going for a walk. I'll see you later.
A walk? To where?
To the family cemetery. It's not far. We can talk again after lunch.
What on earth are you doing here?
Oh, hello, Mr. Oskin. I was just curious.
You find cemeteries curious?
This one is.
What do you mean?
Well, the place doesn't look well cared for, with one exception. A grave which has fresh flowers on it. The occupant was apparently someone who passed away 50 years ago.
Is that any concern of yours?
Why are you here, Mr. Oskin? Are you sentimental about someone who died 50 years ago?
With all due respect, ma'am, it is none of your business.
Unless the original occupant of the grave has acquired a companion recently.
What?
Someone whose name does not appear on the headstone.
Are you mad?
Is Kathy in that grave over there?
But Kathy has gone to France.
To the best of my knowledge, France is on the surface of the earth.
What are you saying?
Mr. Oskin, you are clearly in a very disturbed, very nervous condition. I believe you are a villain in many ways, but I do not believe you're a cold-blooded murderer.
Just who are you? You and that so-called son of yours.
Kindly keep your distance from me. I have a pistol, and I won't hesitate to use it if you become threatening. In your present condition of high agitation, you may do something foolish. Don't.
Who sent you? What is the meaning of all this?
Why not tell me the truth? What happened to the husbands of Mary and Kathy? And why is Kathy buried secretly in a grave with somebody else's name on it?
Oh, I can't take any more of this. It's all too terrible. I can't take any more. I shall go insane.
Mr. Oskin, come back here. Oh, dear, he has a horse under those trees. Now what's he going to do? Oh, I suppose he's returning to the house. I better get back there. Oh, blast. I should have come with a carriage. Now I'll have to walk. I told you I was going to the cemetery. I met Mr. Oskin there, and he bolted back here on his horse. Have you seen him?
The most ghastly thing has happened. He returned here like a man possessed, rushed upstairs to his room, and shot himself.
What? Oh, no. Was the shot fatal?
I'm afraid so. Oh. But I have sent for a doctor. Poor young Margaret is almost hysterical. Peter Corb is with her.
And Mary, where's she?
I'm not sure. She was with me in the room, but I have no idea where she is at the moment.
Well, I can tell you where Kathy is.
What? Where?
In the old family cemetery. In one of the old graves with a 50-year-old headstone.
What?
What indeed?
Are you saying that old Oskin killed one of his own daughters as well as...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, then?
The old man was not a murderer. He knew the truth, but was keeping the secret. The killer is someone else.
Do you realize what you're suggesting?
Yes. It's either Mary or Margaret... Or both.
But that's a preposterous idea.
Why? Are you beginning to enjoy the attentions of Mary? Is it beyond belief that Margaret could be putting in an act of charming, girlish innocence?
I just can't believe that.
Oh, be careful. Here come Peter and Margaret.
William, have you told your mother of the tragedy?
Yes, I was just telling her. Shouldn't Margaret retire to her room to rest?
It's all right. I must be strong. Nothing will be achieved if I... Oh, dear. May I sit down, please?
Yes, of course. Over here. Let me help you. Poor darling.
I have made tea for us. There's nothing further we can do until the doctor arrives. Will you assist me with this tray?
Yes, of course. Here, I'll take it.
A servant could have brought the tray. They're all rather shocked at the moment, as we all are.
I was having an interesting but rather abrupt conversation with your father at the cemetery shortly before he...
Heavens. How distasteful of you to speak like that after what has happened.
I'm not finished yet. Your sister Kathy is buried in your family cemetery.
What? Oh!
Oh!
Oh,
Let me help you.
I'm sorry, but I think we shall now settle this matter over tea. I have a feeling it'll be possible to prove who's behind these various tragedies.
The tea was poisoned, and when Mary Ostkin was asked to drink first, she refused. Margaret was quite prepared to drink it, but of course we stopped her.
Excellent work, Mr. Sires, excellent.
The marriages for money were Mary's idea. Cathy was happy with her marriage, but all Mary was interested in was the money. She killed both husbands. Cathy was suspicious, and eventually became so bothersome that Mary poisoned her.
And old Ostgarn knew what was going on?
He didn't realize the deaths were murder until after Cathy's death. It began to drive him out of his mind, particularly when Mary insisted that he implicate your brother Peter in a plot involving Margaret.
Outstanding work, Mr. Sires, outstanding. I'm most impressed with your quick, astute detections.
old Ostgarn was a drunkard and a gambler. He was being controlled in the other business by Mary. And we, just needed to establish that. Not so, Miss Peake?
Yes, quite so.
It must be intriguing for you to work with such a brilliant detective, Miss Peake.
Oh, absolutely, Mr. Corb, absolutely.
I have no objection, and neither does my family, to the prospect of Peter marrying Margaret, now that the other distressing problem has been so well solved.
Splendid. Margaret Ostkin, in my humble opinion, is a delightful young lady. And I am sure that she and your brother Peter will be very happy.
They will look forward to your presence at the wedding. If it was not for you, there would have been a wedding followed by a murder. And that's too ghastly for words. I trust you may also attend the happier wedding, Miss Peake.
Oh, why, thank you.
Yes. Well, good day to you. Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
The reputation of our business has increased enormously as a result of all this.
Yes, I dare say it has, Mr. Sires. I mean, after all, you are a brilliant detective. And who could know it better than I do?
You have just heard Deadly Marriages by Graham Lonsdale. The play was produced and directed by Henry Diffenthal. The part of William Sires was played by Roger Service. Miss Peake was Maureen Adair. As John Corb, you heard John Simpson. Peter Corb was played by Peter Gardner. Margaret Ostgarn was Suzanne Atwell. Mary Ostkin, Caroline Smart, and Harold Ostgarn, Stuart Parker.
You have been listening to Drama International. Join us again next week at the same time for more Drama International.